on this week's episode of Devil's Trap Podcast.
Hi, I'm Sarah McLaughlin. Will you be an angel for a helpless hellhound? Every day, innocent hellhounds are hunted by Winchesters, and they're crying out for help. Please call the number on your screen with a monthly gift right now. For a small monthly commitment, you can help rescue hellhounds from the Winchesters and provide souls, brimstone, and cuddles. Call or join online in the next 30 minutes, and you'll receive this welcome kit with a photo of a hellhound in hell right now, one who's been given a second chance thanks to you.
Let's do this.
I'm Diana.
I'm Liz.
And we're going to talk about season 8, episode
14.
14. Oh, man. Even that was wrong on my notes. Trial and error.
Oh, boy. So apparently Diana got wasted.
I really didn't. I had like a nice pre-dinner cocktail and I don't drink good on an empty stomach. And that's what I was doing when I watched. So.
We'll see how those go. So we are having this because the eclipse did not end the world.
Yeah. The sun didn't explode.
It didn't.
Sorry about that.
I'm drinking out of my Reinery Eclipse Drop glass, and it's got the little, like the sun becoming not sun and then around it. So
nice.
And also their eclipse Malbec, which has a little fancy sun on it. And I have an extra one because my friend didn't want to check a bag. So now I have one that I can put aside and, and keep. And this one I could drink because so if you couldn't tell by what I was saying, I went to the Reinery, which is a winery for the eclipse. I'm barreling into this. So so the Reinery is a winery that is in Fredericksburg and they have a rhino. And the winery had an eclipse party yesterday and we got super bougie, but I feel like they have the best bang for the buck because we got to keep like this custom chair that's got, it says the Reinery on it, but still a nice freaking like outdoor chair, camping like nice chair ones. With a little cup holder and stuff in it. Like not a cup holder for a wine glass, which would have been smarter, but still, like that. And then like a bottle of they made a special edition wine, a special edition glass. And then like this really comfy blanket that's like super soft and it's got that on it. And then you got like two drinks and then like food and stuff. And it was like a couple hundred bucks. So like it was worth it. And I got to meet a rhino named Blake. I mean, I didn't get to like touch him, but his name is Blake and he is adorable. He is 5 years old, which apparently is puberty for a rhino, which is what I've learned. Oh. So he is too young for the teat and too old for the teat and too young to copulate. So at the Reinery out there, he currently has like a couple of acres to play on, but they're working on making more stuff. And then when that is done, they're a part of the conservation organization, I did not know this. If the conservation organization takes a look at the population of rhinos and goes, we need more because they are not doing well in the wild, then they'll give the thumbs up and then Blake will be able to get some. But like they can say, hey, we're good out here in the wild, in the wild, and he will not, like, Blake will be a bachelor. Yeah. Blake just won't. I also learned that it takes them an hour. At least.
That's a commitment.
That is. You got to put aside some time. Now I kind of want to know some more details, but there's a thing like the woman does, like, I don't know. I think she gets really mad. And then like, I don't know. So we'll have to learn more about their mating habits. Right, but I do know it takes at least an hour. So good for Blake. I mean, I just don't see why, like, he needs some time to wait on that. But it was a good time. So, yeah, how was your eclipse viewing?
It was good. I did not have as exciting of a trek as you, but we did have lovely weather in Dallas after people were very concerned and the forecast did not look good. No, just hung out at my work, put on a little lunch and watched the eclipse thingy. So it was pretty cool just to have a really nice little green space, like park at my work. So we just went out there and ate bagel sandwiches because they're round. And then watched it. It was really cool. And our local radio station had a really good playlist for it.
I still have Black Hole Sun stuck in my head. I never want to hear that song again. Well,
I think I only heard it once, and I only heard Total Eclipse of the Heart once. So I'm pretty.
Somebody started playing it outside, and I like everyone's like, and I'm like, I'm gonna hit you in the face. But it was a very interesting, even though like our viewing was not as great because we did have a bunch of clouds and it was kind of coming in and out. Yeah. But it was still, and you know, totality was like a really cool thing to like be a part of. And I can only imagine, like, I think like how can you not think about what it would be like to see this, like, before, like, if you lived in a time before you knew it was coming, right?
Right. We were talking about that too. Like, no wonder they thought, like, you know, that the, you know, a snake was eating the sun, or I don't know what the fuck ever, like, what's what. I'm not going to pretend to know all the lore about
all the different things people thought when they saw an eclipse, like, right? Like,
but like, it was, I mean, it was like a light switch off and then on. Cause like, it was bright, but you could see it was getting smaller. I don't know. I was very impressed. I will say that, I was not really like, I was kind of like, yeah, we'll have like lunch on and sit outside for, I'll buy everybody lunch. I'll buy everybody lunch. We'll sit and watch it. Cool. And I was like, that'll be cool, but whatevs. It exceeded expectations. So if I would say, as to our dear listeners, if you get the opportunity
to witness a total eclipse, the next one will happen in 80 years. It's fine.
No. There's one. Well, no, there's one. There's like one every like 18 to 24 months.
The next one's like coming here for like another 80 years.
So I'm saying listeners in other places. There's like in 3 or 4. I think in like 4 years, there's another one in the that'll hit part of the U.S., but not anywhere near where we're at. But yeah, no, it was. I thought it was a really spectacular
way to go, nature. Five stars, nature.
Good job, nature. Yes. So no, it was really cool. I'm as impressed. Super impressed with the experience. And I guess that's the big news of the day.
Yep.
I can talk about other things I've gone and did. Shockingly, I saw music, but that's, you know, a moot point of this.
We also had April Fool's Day. Like, that passed somehow, like, before, like, I don't know how we missed that. But so the reason I'm bringing it up is that Misha's April Fool's joke was this Maka Variety article that was written by Becky Rosen announcing an all-female reboot of Supernatural called Resurrection. Hilarious. I like it. All right. So let's talk about this week's episode. So Trial and Error. This first aired February 13th, 2013. It was directed by Kevin Parks. Now, Kevin Parks is the first assistant director on the Odd Number episodes. And he is also known as, or was known, I guess probably still is known, but he was known as Parksopedia because he had this encyclopedic knowledge of the show. So like these first assistant directors, really what they're doing on the set is, like, you know, they're basically plotting out like all the shots and all the schedules, and like they're almost like a project manager in a way, but they're just like, they keep everything coordinated, right? And so in order to do that, you have to know a lot about the show. So he knew, like, he was the go-to, like, knowledge about all the lore, all the things that happened in Supernatural. It was Kevin Parks. But this was his first episode to direct an episode. The other person who did the even-numbered episodes, he already got his chance. So now this was Kevin's. And more recently, he's been working on Firefly Lane and the Amazon show Upload. Did you hear about that show? It was, the premise is, after his premature death, a man's consciousness is uploaded into a virtual world. As he gets comfortable with his surroundings, mm-hmm. questions about his death mm-hmm. arise. I have not heard of that. And that sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
So that's a show that exists that he has been working on. And yeah, right. So also, this was written by Andrew Dabb. So, all right, we start off with a recap, but our recap is all about crossroads demons and hellhounds and goofer dust.
Mm-hmm. And Kevin's work on the tablet and the key. So we open at Fizzle's Folly.
Mr. Fizzle's.
So we've got good old Kevin in his deep in his very unhealthy process of translation, which means he's like getting up at like, it looks like he's getting up at 5 a.m.
He could be getting up at 5 a.m.
and then going to bed, but it's dark at 2:45 when he's going to bed.
Yeah. So 2:45 a.m. goes to bed at 2:45 a.m. and wakes up at 5 p.m. No, I don't know. Anyways.
It's very crazy. Yeah. But all he's living off of coffee and hot dogs and aspirin. He's got his murder wall.
It's bad. Also, to be fair, when he was eating them in the show, he was eating, those were tofu dogs, but still gross, which I think is grosser.
I know. Mike, is that supposed to be better?
They were still uncut.
And so it's been basically like a month that he's doing, like time has passed while he's doing this. And finally he says that he's done it. He's translated what he needs to translate. He says, holy crap, his nose starts bleeding and he falls out.
Yep. So he just passed out. Oops. But he made a breakthrough, so that's great. And we cut to Dean in the bunker.
Mm-hmm. He's got his own little room in his bunker with his Led Zeppelin record and a photo of one of his childhood photos with his mom. And basically he's setting up like his own little space, and he's talking about his memory foam mattress.
And he committed to a mattress. Like, that's a commitment. That's a big deal. Because I'm assuming he had to have bought this, because the bunker, like, memory foam is not, unless Men of Letters, like, were ahead of their times and figured out memory foam. Like, did they, like, have it delivered? Did they get, like, do they strap it on top of baby? Like, I want to go mattress shopping with Sam and Dean. That sounds like a fun excursion.
You just want to test the mattresses with Sam and Dean.
That too, but also just the process could be fun.
it gets kind of sad though here, is Dean expresses that this is the first time, his first own room that he's ever
had. Yeah, that's sad. But then you think about it, like, does that mean like he literally, like, God, that's gross. Like, it's not just sad, it's gross. Like, how long have you, like, not, I don't know, you've been sleeping in a car and it's unfathomable. And yeah. I know that is probably a very privileged thing for me to say, but it is, like, that's a lifestyle that is just, it really, when you think about that, not having a place to, you've traveled as much as, not as much, but you've been, you know, you were in the military, like, you know, you had to go away from home, but you always, like, there is a place.
Got a place, a home base to return to. And to not have that is, that's terrifying to me. Mm-hmm. Sam immediately throws his gum wrapper on the floor.
Who does that? Anywhere, even on, like, a weird hotel. Like
I kind of didn't get this. I was kind of like, what are you doing?
And he also just
fucking with your
brother.
He also
just be fucking with your brother. Like,
yeah,
it's like you're not that much of a slop.
No. Also, Dean does have a nice display of weapons on the wall, and I want to know if these are from throughout. Like, I assume they're not Men of Letters weapons because they weren't really into that.
Well, listen, no, the samurai swords are the Men of Letters, right? So we've seen those.
Yeah,
and I also think the Men of Letters, like, yeah, no, some of them are theirs, but I think a lot of these are personal too.
So interesting. But they go back out into their research world because Sam is deep in it. And Dean delivers burgers to them both because Dean is stoked to have a kitchen And he is apparently a pretty damn good cook.
Well, and, you know, we did forget about, you know, he lived with Lisa for a while. You know.
And I was like, oh, yeah, you know he was grilling out living with Lisa.
Yeah, and, you know, burger seems like something that, like, well, oh, gee, you know, it's a manly thing for me to make.
Manly, dude food to make, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's his favorite food, so wouldn't he learn how to make that? That totally tracks. But... and I like that he tells Sam is shocked, and I like that Dean says, "I'm nesting."
That's adorable.
It is. I liked it. But then Kevin calls, bah-bah! And the phone cuts out right away. So they have to go check on him because they are worried, as they should be. And they find him puking in the bathroom on Fizzle's Folly.
Mr. Fizzle. So, yeah, and Kevin's also looking great, and Dean's just like, man, you gotta eat a salad and have a shower, and sometimes, yeah, you just need to eat something green. Yeah. I have been eating out for the past 5 days, and, like, I'm just like, I just ate some, like, lettuce with, like, some dressing on it, and then I ate some kale and some carrots. I'm just like, that's like, my stomach's like, I don't want anything else, just put green things in me.
Green things, please. Green things only. Kevin's like, yeah, I think I had a small stroke, but it was worth it because I figured out how to close the gates of hell.
He has.
What?
And what it is that God has built a series of tests. And Tedest is today's magic word. That means it's time for a pop quiz. So today's pop quiz, what we're going to do is I actually have the Supernatural pop quiz deck that I got off of Stan's. This was made by something, Inside Edition. I don't know. CW and Warner Brothers has got a thing on it. So it's questions and answers throughout the entire thing. So obviously I will be calling questions only be around things that Diana has seen. So we'll do, I don't know, like what, 5 questions? Or until it's no longer funny. All right. So I'm randomly picking out a card thing here. I'm not sure how these work. All right. So, oh, I think this is very appropriate. I just randomly picked this. All right. So this question is, who owns the houseboat where the Winchesters hide Kevin Tran?
Garth.
That is correct. All right. So you got that one right. Okay. So the second question on here. Who finally kills Lilith?
Was it... Sam?
It was. All right. So you've got 2 questions right so far. All right. And let's see. Oh, this is one of my favorites. All right. And this is question number 3 on this card. What term do Sam and Dean often use to describe killing a monster?
Gang.
That is correct. Oh, we are at 3 out of 3. So good. So good. All right. And nope. There's so many on here that we have not gotten to yet. I'm going to kind of pick out another one. All right. Let's see. And oh, question number 4. This is also very topical. What secret society builds the bunker?
Men of Letters.
That is Men of Letters. All right. So you were just killing this game that clearly was only written about season 8. And let's see if there are any. Oh, my God. Question number 2. What is the name of Garth's boat? This is just like.
What? Fizzle's Folly. Ooh,
oh, my God. Your short-term memory is correct. Okay. So I think at this point, this is about to stop being funny. We're going to do one more question. And this one's pick a random one here. All right. And let's see. Question number whatever on here. Which of Sam and Dean's relatives work for Crowley capturing high-ranking monsters?
Oh,
Samuel.
That would be Samuel Campbell, their shitty grandfather. All right. Mm-hmm. So Diana is teacher's pet once again. She still knows all things supernatural. We can prove she has been paying attention. So this was from the Supernatural Join the Hunt Pop Dep Quiz. Buy it wherever you want. We get no profit from this. It's just a thing that I got. All right. So continuing on about our series of tests.
Yeah. So there are basically there's three trials, and then they're supposed to say some stuff in Enochian, and ta-da, then you close the gates of hell.
Right. So there's a bunch of spells. They don't really know what they are. And the all they know is that Garth. See, I'm just in Garth land. So what Kevin has figured out, though, is the first test is killing a poor defenseless hellhound and then bathing in its blood.
A little hell pupper.
I would say no. You should just be down. Like, I'm going to call Sarah McLachlan for hellhounds.
Hell puppers, poor hell puppers. Yeah, that's kind of dark. I mean, like, I know, like, the hellhounds are mean. I get it. Like, I don't really necessarily know if I want to cuddle with them. They don't seem like they want to cuddle with me.
You don't know. Like, you haven't been around them. Like, maybe they just weren't properly trained. Maybe they were trained to be mean. You don't know. You can't just, maybe like,
just didn't give them a
treat. You can't just kill an animal. I'm sorry, even if it's a hellhound.
Mm. Well,
hard pass.
Dean's like, yeah, but Dean's like, this is awesome. I'm going to find someone who made a crossroads deal that needs to be collected, and that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to go get some goofer dust and some real food that's not hot dogs for Kevin to eat.
Smart, smart.
And while Kevin takes a shower. And Sam smartly tells Kevin that he kind of needs to, like, chill. And Kevin's like, no, I gotta finish this. I can't do anything till it's done. I can't talk to anybody. All my mom does is cry, blah, 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 blah. I need it to be over. And Sam's like, yeah, this whole, like, saving the world thing is a marathon, not a sprint.
But I also get where Kevin's coming from. Like,
yeah,
when you know, like, this thing sucks. If I power through it, it will be over. Like, especially knowing, like, this isn't, like, it. Sam, I get it. You said saving the world a lot. But this is there is a specific task that can be finished.
Correct.
So I get where...
There is a start and an end to this.
It's not
task.
Just like this, you know, like, abstract idea. There is something he can do. So I'm here with you, Kevin. But I get this is awful. And yeah, you need to eat something that's not pig's ass.
Yeah. So Dean comes in, and apparently he is shocked and impressed with the variety of tomatoes that are available to purchase these days. In the meantime, Sam thinks that he found a crossroads deal about somebody probably wishing for some oil to be found on their land.
And so they are going to... Shoshone?
Idaho. What'd you call me? Shoshone. And before they leave, Dean's like, cool. Hey, Kevin, here's these pills. The blue ones are for headaches. The green are for pep. Don't OD. And leaves.
Yep. So here's some caffeine pills. And hopefully they're just caffeine pills. They look like they're OTC. Hopefully. So.
Yeah. But did you remember the Saved by the Bell episode where, oh, God, I can see her face. Jesse got addicted to caffeine pills.
So quickly. She went down that path.
Sorry.
That's how you end up in Showgirls, is just by being addicted to caffeine pills.
That's how that happens. Sorry. I'm not laughing at addiction. I'm just laughing at...
I'm laughing at the idea of somebody being addicted to caffeine pills. I'm sorry if you exist. But damn. All right. Okay. So...
I mean, I'm addicted to coffee, so might as well.
Okay. All right. So Dean, like, was going to remind us that if you see anybody hallucinating, they are... Sorry. I skipped the part where going off to look for angry bitches.
Yeah, so they're going... Yeah. So they are looking for any hint of a hellhound because Dean is ready to, quote,
Spike Fido.
He is way... See, remember when I was talking about Dean being a serial killer? This is something where I'm like, you know, like that question maybe. When they talk about, do you want to hurt small animals? Like, you were far too excited to kill a dog.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So...
Maybe he does have payback for Joe. I mean, we do have that.
Yeah, I don't know. But they're back at this or they're at this house or this large property
farm. Wow, it's a farm.
And this chick comes out from under the tractor that named Ellie, and she manages the property. And
that's right. Do not assume that there's like how they didn't play that off very long though. It was just like, I am Ellie. I run the farm. Boom.
And they're apparently they're hiring, so she thinks they're applying for jobs, and she hires them even though they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
This whole process, so I was like, and I get it. Like, I've hired day laborers before, sort of. Like, I've never had to do that.
Sam and Dean do not look like day laborers.
Well, they do not. And two, but just this idea of like people rolling up to your house, and then you're like, here's a job, move in.
It's a lot.
I wish you was state lane. So we meet Carl Granville,
the trophy husband.
Sure. For one of the Cassidys.
That's what he calls himself.
He's a trophy for the Cassidys. I also hate that Cassidy is spelled with a T. It just really bothers me.
That's weird. And so, but he's like, he calls Sam and Dean some swell guys, and Ellie goes and shows them to their room, and she tells them that they have breakfast at 5, dinner at 8, and the rest of the time that they belong to her. That's a really long day. I'm not trying to be an asshole. Like, I get up fairly early and I work really hard, not in a field to be clear. I mean, but like, breakfast at 5 a.m. and dinner at 8 p.m. Like, when's lunch? I'd be very hungry, especially if I was doing physical labor. That's my hot take. I was distressed by this timeline.
Yeah, I am distressed by the noise my cat is making as she is. I apologize for the crinkling. She is cat trapping herself on some paper next to the microphone. Sorries. Anyway, so yeah, all of this is just bizarre. But they get hired. Dean misses his room,
and they go shovel some shit. Literally,
just go out to muck some stalls.
Yeah, and he overhears Ellie and Alice Cassidy arguing about organic food for the horses. So. They have decided that for some reason that Alice must be the one that made a Crossroads deal to get the money, the oil money for the land.
Sure. Yeah, clearly it's her. So she must be the sole seller. Later, Alice and Carl are outside having a delightful dinner outside that in front of a fire that looks amazing. And I'm so jealous of them sitting out here in the woods just like with their fire.
Yeah, looks nice. But we hear a howl and... Alice is like, I need to go check on the horses. They're going to be spooked by if that's that wolf again. So the horses are whinnying, and Sam and Dean are secretly trying to watch all this go down. But as she's trying to go check on her horses, Carl gets killed by a hellhound.
Yeah.
Oh.
Eaten by that invisible dog.
So we now know that Carl must have made a deal because they don't go after you otherwise, right?
Mainly. Or something, kind of. I mean, like, that seems to be that's the main theme, but I also feel like Sam and Dean are worried about people being like Joe got killed by a hellhound and they weren't after her. That was the cat sneezing.
Bless you.
Okay. So.
But I think like Crowley like sicked them on her
specifically. Right. And so I mean, like, I guess typically they're not going to go after you unless they are like, well, then they're kind of like suck on you. Like, is that how you like sucked? Sicked? like, you know, sick of, like, maybe, like, it's like, you know, they get the scent and, like, they have to go after this thing, but they're still also really, like, angry bitches. So sometimes they may just, like, get, like, a side nosh of you.
Maybe. I don't know. It depends how hungry they are. So we've got Sam and Dean and Ellie agreeing that Carl was a good guy, and the sheriff saying that he died real bad. And he thinks, but he says it was a wolf. Ellie is not convinced though, so she's gonna go make some calls. I don't even know what that means, but okay.
Who are you gonna call?
Hey,
I think she's calling out Cassidy's probably, because she's just like, hey, I'm coming.
Yeah, and Sheriff's like basically hints to Sam and Dean that it is bad news to have all the Cassidy's under one roof. So there we go. Sam and Dean are like, well, fuck it. We missed our opportunity for the Hellhound. We got to bounce. Next spot anyways. But as they're getting ready to, Sam finds Alice by herself brushing horses. And he asks her if she's okay. And she's like real confused. And this is where it gets real creepy, because she's like, I'm fine, but that's weird, because I loved Carl, but I don't remember why I loved him. He's like, she starts talking about how we went to school together. He mooned over me. I made fun of him. But then some Valentine's we got together and there was magic. And I don't know, now he's gone, but I'm not sad.
Yep. And I'm just fine. And this is where we all start kind of like putting together like, ew, Carl.
Yeah, Carl did something gross.
Carl.
So Sam goes and tells Dean, and Dean's like, you got some graveyard dirt? And Sam's like, no, we don't need to summon a fucking demon. And he's like, no, we're going to hold a crossroads demon hostage in return for a hellhound. And Sam's like, hold on. Crowley will be so fucking pissed. That is suicide. Carl sold his soul for Alice, not for oil on the property. So somebody else did it for the oil. And he says, I want to kill a hellhound and not die. And then they stare each other down real hard.
Yeah, but it's a good point, right? So maybe the demon did a bunch of deals, right? So yeah. Now we get to meet the rest of the Cassidy's.
Mm-hmm. We kick off with Noah Cassidy, 71, worth $1 billion, and married to wife number 5.
A 20-year-old lingerie model. Yeah. Who is not there, thankfully.
No. Cindy, who had a single on the country music chart, but then she started drinking real hard. And then
after she started hitting the bottle, her last album were holiday songs for dogs. And Ellie's favorites were Jingle Bark Rock and Don't Pee on This Tree, Happy Arbor Day.
And then the youngest, Margot, who goes by Margie a lot too in this episode. And she ran away and from all of them and currently lives in Paris.
Alrighty then. Yep, so they are all there. And now, like, their jobs get weirder. And now you're not only farmhands, you are also serving caterer waiters. Okay, wait. Sure.
So, but Dean's going to grill, and Ellie does like a man who can handle his meat. So we've got a really awkward dinner where Margot's expressing condolences. Noah's calling. I don't know. It's a really weird,
like, bad dinner conversation. We learned
Cindy's
that mocking
dad's wife.
We learned that Marjo and Carl used to do it before, like, Alice and Carl got married. Then, yeah. Like, we go to the kitchen and we learn that Ellie says, you know, she's just here because she loves the land and its animals, right? So she doesn't care about his family. Yeah. She's just here for that.
And she's been there since she was like 13. So, and we get a terrible exchange with the family where Noah is talking about his children, about how when Margie was fat and Cindy was sober, is one of his fun references. Cindy is back, tells him to get cancer and die, old man. So we've got a very loving, supportive household here.
Yep, not dysfunctional at all. Then we learned the last time that they had dinner together, and it was at the old crappy house.
Mm-hmm. And they had an interesting visitor there. His name was Crowley.
Yep.
Oh.
Oops.
That's interesting. Hmm. So Sam and Dean are discussing outside the fact that fucking Crowley was there and probably made some more than one deal. But while that happens, he calls with some news and he's got some tips about hillhounds, about how to use holy oil to be able to spot them.
Yep. Yep. And so what he figures out is that the dire creatures may be seen only by the damned or through an object scorched with holy fire. And that's how we get to our artisanal holy oil.
Artisanal.
And they figure out that means glasses. So you can like rod a thing in glasses and then you can see the puppers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty clever. Pretty clever. So Kevin's just popping some pills.
Like you do when you just gotta power through.
Dean's finding glasses. Sam is still kind of like watching Noah and Margie because apparently they're going to take shotguns out and go hunt down whatever thing ate Carl.
Daddy's drunk and armed, must be Christmas, which, you know, fair.
And so Sam's like, maybe I'll just go with you guys. I want to help. Well, Dean uses the holy oil with he puts the glasses through it so he can try to watch for hellhounds.
Yep. So
I'm just going to say that man wears glasses.
Well. He does.
Yeah. Like real well.
Yeah. Ellie likes him in his Clark Kent look, and so do I.
Yes.
Yeah. Glasses.
Yes,
glasses,
ma'am.
Really work on him.
Yes. Into it. Here for it. Hello, Nerdy Dean. I'm in. So. Because of this, though, Dean is so on the mission that he fucking turns down Ellie.
She is heavily coming on to him. On, like, heavily.
Yes. And he's like, I'm sorry, I can't. Can I get a rain check? And she's like, nope, it's one night only. Oh, bummer. But out in the woods, we got Noah, Margie, and Sam, and they're being stalked by something. And so Sam separates from them because this always goes
so well.
It gets almost shot by Noah. And in the meantime, Margie gets attacked and killed.
Yep. She also gets eaten. But Sam takes like a shot and he does kind of like get something off of it. But it's too late. Yeah. She dead.
Yep. Back at the house, everybody's very upset. Dean says, fuck it, and explains the hellhounds. And Crowley. He's like, so who else signed fucking deals? You know? And no one else fesses up. And Sam's like, fine, I'm just going to block everything off with the goofer dust. And no, you know, and anyways, it's a standoff between Dean and Noah.
So they handcuff them so they don't hurt themselves. They goofer dust them in. But also, I mean, it's weird. Like, these two guys, like, you just hired... We are drifters.
I know. Handcuffed you, sprayed dust everywhere, and told you made a deal with the demon.
Yeah, yeah. No, I also would be like, I would like to leave now, right? And so then we go to Dean talking about the trials.
Yeah. And his whole thing is like, look, no matter what, it's one of us is going to die in God's obstacle course. So Dean's like, I'm a grunt. You're the brain, Sam. And so I see the way out. You're the brains and you see the end. You see the way out of all of this. But Dean just doesn't have that optimism anymore. And so he wants to be the grunt and die for the cause. Because he doesn't have anything else. And he doesn't have hope. And he sees Sam having a life and a future. So he wants to do the trials alone.
It is it's nice that he's like, I want Sam like to get out. At least like, you know, at least he's saying that now, I guess.
Well, and it's nice that he's sharing that he doesn't share Sam's optimism. But I think this also plays back into kind of an ongoing theme in the show of them not understanding that they always have to do it together.
Yeah. Yep. So anyways,
that comes back to that every time, right? Every mission like this, they always end up having to do it together to be successful. That's just part of it, right? I mean,
So Dean's going to be the martyr, and he gets Clark kitted up.
He does. He's ready. And he's looking around. It's raining, and we hear "I Touch Myself" by the Divinyls playing quite loudly from the stable. Yeah,
so when Ellie did not give Mr. Winchester, she decided to touch herself. I mean, but also, good, we find out that he also made two pairs of glasses, so Sam also gets one.
Yes. In the house, we've got Cindy accusing Noah of making a deal, and he's saying, "No, you did for your music career," and she's like, "No, that's called auto-tune." And Alice is remembering that Margot said if that the family was rich, that then they would all be happy. So now we know that the wish, now we know
maybe
one of the wishes that we maybe one of the wishes it could have been Margot wishing for the family to have.
Yeah, it would explain why her throat was ripped out, right? So, yes. So maybe that's happened, right? So then we cut to Dean ruining Ellie's dance party, and she once again just throws herself at him.
In her lingerie and a beer. Turns off the music, and they kiss. And Dean's like, "You need to stay inside." Where the fuck is she going dressed like that, sir? She ain't going anywhere. But she knows that it's coming for her. Oh, shit. She made a deal. She knows what it is. So as all this is happening, Sam sees a hellhound as Alice is slipping out of her cuffs and Sam's trying to get her back inside. And there's a mean pupper out there. Very, very mean pupper. But we get Ellie explaining to Dean what happened. Her mom worked for the family before they had money, and she grew up there. And when she met Crowley and saw him kiss Margie and knew there was one wish, and her mom had Parkinson's. Now her mom is retired and plays golf. She asks Dean what he would do for his mom.
Yeah, and we know he's like, "I'm a martyr. I mean, I would like clearly kill myself for like anything that she asks." Like, we see this and everything, yeah. Right? But also, right. Crowley didn't tell her about the 10 years, which I think is weird.
That's weird. That's very odd.
I feel
odd.
Like that's very un-Crowley. Like, I feel like he always would, I don't know.
Because he loves a good loophole and a contract. Like, him and
he's
like,
not that kind of shady.
No. He's shady in like the. Shady in the fine print way, not in the failed disclosure.
Yeah, no, I like this is like clearly part of it, right? Like, so
that's the deal.
Yeah. So, but apparently she didn't know about that, but she kind of figured it out when she like because Carl got drunk and told her things, right? So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and but she didn't know about Margie, and she didn't want to run.
Yeah, and she wanted some tunes, a last meal, and a piece of Dean Winchester, which, you know, frankly, I don't oppose you having that before you die. That makes sense. Yeah. So, but then they hear howling.
They hear howling, and she starts seeing Dean as a monster, so she starts hallucinating, and it's real scary. I didn't like it.
No, but he's, you know... also not unattractive as whatever she hallucinates. So Dean then like gives her like a circle of goofer dust to stay in without really explaining what this is. And I never understand why these bitches stay in a circle when they do that. I'd be like, no.
Yeah, it's a lot. But she does. And he goes out and he puts on the glasses and he sees the hellhound and he's taunting it. And he's getting clawed and gets thrown. He loses his glasses, but he can see the breath. But then luckily Sam's there and he gets shoots, but they finally like Sam gets pinned, but he's able to get the blade and stab the hound on top of him, which makes it bleed all over him. So now he has killed and bathed in its blood. Yep. Right?
He is right. Covered in the poor puppy blood.
So Ellie patches up Dean and she really wants him to go to the hospital, but they're like, nope, he's had worse because of course. So basically they're just going to send her on her way with a hex bag and that's it. Like, gotta go.
Bye. Okay. All right. So she's off on the run now with a hex bag that'll hide from her, right? And at this point, we can really see Sam up close. And we see that Sam is completely clean, except for the blood that is on his shirt in a very specific pattern. So there is no blood elsewhere on Sam Winchester, except on this shirt. Like, it implies that, yeah. Like, he looks like he took a shower, but put that shirt back on.
Put the shirt back on, which is a weird choice.
I don't understand what's happening, but no. Like, did you think it was like, oh, this print is like cool? This is my new fashion line, like puppy blood, like blood dye, like a tie dye, but it's puppy blood.
Blood dye.
Oh, blood dye.
I mean, it'd be like goth tie dye.
Yeah, but super, super dark. Anyways, okay, so let's go past this. I'm in a place I don't want to be. So, there's no blood or anywhere on Sam but that shirt. And now Dean wants to shut down hell before her soul gets cleaned.
Yeah, like his whole like premise is like she's not going to go to hell because he's going to close the gates of hell before she dies.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Is that how closing the gates?
Yes. So basically this, now they're really showing this, like, kind of like that is the premise. Like the gates of hell get closed. Not only do all the demons go there, but now souls can't go to hell. So, but
where do they go?
Heaven.
All of them?
I guess so. Where else are we going to go? I don't know. Dean hasn't thought that far. So, but, you know, so that's the plan. And so Dean's just like, I'm going to do the spell.
And he starts it. And Sam's like, nah, sorry, it's not going to work for you. Because remember, I'm the one that killed the fucking hellhound and got covered in doggy blood. So Dean's like, fuck that. I'm going to track down another hellhound because I need to be the one to do this. And Sam's like, no, I can do the test. It's suicide for you, but I want to live. So I can do this. I can take you to the light. You're a genius. You're better than me and you're better than Dad. I believe in you. And he asks Dean to believe in
him. Won't you believe in me?
That was a sweet spell.
It is. So he gives Sam the spell.
Yeah, Sam starts the spell. And something happens to his arm. It starts, like, getting all glowy.
Yep, and he just, like, sucks up light through his veins. And I'm fine. Oh, that's not good.
And that's it.
That's how it ends.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. You want to talk about who's in this episode, and then we'll talk about how he feels?
Casting couch. It's the casting couch. Were they on that show that time with that guy? La 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 la.
Yes. So, our cast. In this episode, Ellie was played by Danae Garcia. She's been in episodes of shows like CSI Miami and CSI New York. She also has had some long-running roles. She was Sophia in Prison Break, which is a regular character, and Luciana in Fear the Walking Dead. And that's like 100 episodes of that. She also has been a model and a ballerina.
Ooh.
Alice was played by Allison Richmond Peck. She's been in episodes of L Word, Star Trek Discovery a couple times. She was Lillian Luther in Smallville for several episodes. She was Jean in Battlestar Galactica as a reoccurring character. Olivia in the 12 Monkeys series as a reoccurring character. And most recently was Bev in the Ginny and Georgia series on Netflix, which I've been enjoying. Sorry. Whack my mind there. Noah was played by Francis X. McCarthy. His career dates back to 1979. He's been in episodes of Rockford Files, Love Boat, Cheers, Moonlighting, ALF, A-Team, 21 Jump Street multiple times, Father Dowling Mysteries. Do you remember that? I love that shit. Third Rock from the Sun, Smallville, CSI New York, Bates Motel, and 911. He was Obispo in Altered States, the movie, the 80s movie. He was a waiter in Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid with Steve Martin, and also was Olsen in The Man with Two Brains, the two Steve Martin 80s movies. He was Oliver in Action Jackson. He was Dr. Calvin Hobbs in Melrose Place, the 90s version, which is a reoccurring character. Dr. Kaiser in Basketball, our South Park friends. And Boots in the movie Interstellar. Cindy was played by Tamara Braun. She's been in episodes of Party of Five, a couple episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She was in House, Ghost Whisperer. She was, her biggest parts of her career, though, are soap operas. Reese in All My Children, over 80 episodes. Carly, in addition to two other characters, which I don't, which it makes sense for Soap World, I think, in General Hospital in over 700 episodes, or yeah, over 700 episodes, and Ava and a couple other characters in Days of Our Lives, over 400 episodes. So pretty solid soap opera acting career. And Carl, our trophy husband, was played by a man named John Stewart. He's been in episodes of Fringe, Series of Unfortunate Events, Lucifer, iZombie. He was a paramedic in Final Destination 2. He was Rusty in the movie Walking Tall with The Rock. And then he was a dancing policeman in The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus and a pilot in the film 2012.
There you go.
So there we go. So this episode, all right. The whole story was really just a plot line to drive that they needed a fucking hellhound. So I feel like some of it was kind of, I say that nicely. Ellie's cute. It was kind of fun having the, not fun. It's always kind of dark having like a super dysfunctional family like that, but whatever. They worked real hard at it, but that was really all this was. This, but the whole episode was a device to get us to a hellhound, right? I mean,
yeah, you can say that.
But I feel like there's two things that I'm slightly confused on. Is I feel like there's still some slight like lack of clarity on hellhound lore, and does Kevin have more information? Because this is real stressful. My two things.
Yeah, I mean, hellhound lore. And I feel like, you know, like they're sticking to it, I guess, right? But like they've added in, like, now we know who else can see them, right? So
yeah,
I don't know, I'm kind of fine with that. But this, like, how long does it take Kevin to decipher this tablet? Is it because, like, it's, like, not all the way there? Like, why is it so hard for him to read it? Like,
well, it's supposed to be, like, the thing. He's supposed to be, like, the chosen one to read it.
Yeah. So, I don't know why. It's, like, it does seem, like, overly stressful for the prophet. Like, I don't remember Chuck having these kind of problems. But, you know, it's just, I don't know.
And then, and if he knows the first step and he tells them that, but how does he know?
Like, also, why didn't they wait to hear all three steps? Like, if I were them, I'd be like, well, what are the, like, I want to know all three before I commit.
Yeah, I mean, all the steps.
Right? Yeah. Steps. Why would you only want to know step one?
Yeah. Step one. Would you take it? That's where my brain went. Step one. But yeah, I know, that's what I was thinking too. I was just like, so we've only gotten the info on step one here.
Yeah, you're just like, I feel like they're Winchestering forward, is maybe being a little headstrong, and maybe stop and like figure shit out before you go forward. I don't know. But they're on a mission, and so here we go. This is where we're going. And now we're clearly moving into Sam Winchester is going to be going through some trials.
Yeah. I mean, I guess he has to. Dean has to kind of let him know.
We're not going back now, I don't think.
No. I mean, it'd be weird.
Yeah, I got your weird light arm.
And now, like, so Ellie just, like, they're like, hey, bitch, here's a fucking hex bag. Disappear. Kick rocks. Like,
no spoilers, but I don't think we ever see Ellie.
She's just well, off. According to the casting notes,
yeah, no, she's just fucked off.
I mean, did she disappear?
I mean,
well?
I guess so. I mean, we never know what happened. So there's your supernatural spinoff. Weird. And you keep looking for the new storyline. Wherever the fuck happened to Ellie?
Ellie's off raising horses somewhere.
Good for her.
But yeah, so no, I think, I mean, like, I like that there was some fun. I thought there was some cool stuff they added in with, like, the glasses and being able to use.
Oh, yeah, we got an excuse to see Jensen Ackles in those glasses. So, bravo. Yeah. Good choice.
Thank you, props team and costumes and whoever did that. Yeah. I want to see more of the pepper.
Well, and that was the end. This is like the first time we got to see a hellhound, really, right? And so, but they made it kind of blurry. Yeah. Like, I think, I know they did that on purpose, but.
I know.
But we just don't know. Like, I want the Sarah McLachlan from a hellhound to come through, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, for only $4 a day, you too can save a hellhound from the Winchesters. I will remember you.
In the arms of the angels.
Oh, I think they need a song. All right. Anything else on this? I don't know. So also, I saw something that was an interesting thing, but this was exactly like halfway through the series. Mm, so we're halfway through our podcast, too, if you put it that way. We are halfway through. So now it's all downhill.
Weird.
Only 7 more seasons ago. It was all downhill from here, Diana.
That's dun, so dun, weird dun, to think dun, about.
We're on the other side.
Interesting.
We crossed to the other side.
I feel like I know what I'm talking about almost now.
Right? Crazy. Don't worry. Some things are coming to fuck that right up soon, I'm sure.
No doubt.
Cheers.
No doubt. Cheers, bitch.
Devil's Trap Podcast is a Don't Get It production. Meow.
Devil's Trap Podcast is part of the Ship It Studios Podcast Network. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Devil's Trap Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram at Devil's Trap Podcast, Twitter at Devil's Trap Pod, or you can email us at devilstrap@devilstrappodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe, leave reviews, and share with all your friends. We're at all your favorite podcast outlets and at devilstrappodcast.com. I'm Babe. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.